Hello and welcome to episode number 36 of the Let's Guide podcast, the ultimate podcast for Google local guides. There are a bunch of novelties again, both about Google Maps itself and the local guides program. So I guess it's time for another news and updates episode. As usual, before we start, I want to specifically mention that I'm not an official representative of Google or the local guides team. I'm just a local guide like most of you. Everything you hear in this episode is therefore just my personal interpretation of things. This episode is being recorded in the middle of January 2022 and is therefore describing the situation as it is today. Should you be listening at a later date, things might of course have changed. That being said, let's just dive into it.
Let's get started!
I want to start with an update on the topic of the previous episode of the podcast, which was about adding roads. It's something I did not include in that episode number 35, not because I forgot to mention it, but really because I only figured this out after the episode was recorded. I know it sounds a bit silly, but it's absolutely true. What I did not mention in that episode is that the way the editor, so the tool you use to draw the roads, that this editor works different now from the way it used to work in the past. So in the past, when I was not yet really focusing on adding roads, I had seen that you could also add information about the type of roads it was, so a local road, parking, and so on. But in the new method, this step seemed to be missing. Seemed to be missing indeed, as I have now figured out that the option is still there, but kinda hidden. I'm not going over the entire adding roads process here again. Please listen to episode 35 if you need more details. But the crucial thing is that as soon as you have added 2 points on the map for the road you want to add, and I'm referring here to the process on Android, which is where I make 99% of all my edits. So as soon as you've added 2 points, a new section shows up at the bottom where you can enter the road name. But now it turns out you can also scroll this section up and then you get access to another field where you can select one of 4 options to indicate which type of road it is. So it's still there. Those 4 options are local roads, main roads, car park, and finally biking or walking trail. So that's the 4 options you can choose to indicate the type of road. The difficulty here, however, is that this section disappears as soon as you click the tick symbol to indicate that you're ready drawing that section of the road. So once you have passed that point, you can't submit the type of road anymore, which means you really need to pay attention when taking the steps of the road adding process and make sure to select the type of road before submitting the section. By the way, it's also very interesting to see that Google specifically mentions those 4 types of road: local road, main road, car park, and biking or walking trail, which seems to be a strong indicator that they really want us local guides to also add trails and the lanes of car parks. So please don't feel silly or dumb when you find out about a feature of maps that, once you do know about it, seems to be quite obvious, but you never noticed it before. Apparently, it happens to the best of us. In the road adding episodes, I also mentioned that I had set myself a challenge to add at least 100 roads before the end of 2021. And there, I'm really happy to be able to report that I was able to achieve that milestone. In fact, I've even already crossed the 200 mark, and at the time of this recording, the exact count is 238. In part, this achievement is due to a sort of mass approval that happened a while ago, on October 26th, to be precise. You might remember from the road adding episode that I mentioned that quite a few of my submitted road edits seemed not to be processed yet. I had not received an approved or not applied message for those yet. Well, on October 26th, between 8:25 and 8:42 a.m. Central European Time, so within 17 minutes, no less than 50 road adding edits were approved. All of them edits I had made in the course of the two previous months. An amazing number. This actually reminded me of something I have encountered at work myself a couple of times already. On some computer server, in some database, something gets stuck. And it takes a while before anyone notices this. And during this period, new database entries are not being processed, but buffered somewhere. And when that tech issue then finally gets fixed, all of those buffered entries get processed in the course of a few minutes, or a few hours, depending on the size of the buffered stuff, of course. I think something similar must have happened at Google, also because fellow Connect moderator and Guiding Star 2021, Hermes from Italy, noticed exactly the same thing happening in the exact same time frame on that day to some road edits that he had made. Ever since that day, road edits are getting approved again the way I was used to see. One thing, though, is still worth mentioning in this context. Some of the approvals, so not all of them, only some of them, have started coming in quite quickly. Not within a few minutes, as we know from the algorithmically approved edits. If you have no idea what that means, please go and check out episode number 25 about the verification of edits. But still, those approved road edits come in after as little as 10 hours or so. So between submitting the road edit and getting the approval, only 10 hours. The record so far is only 6 hours between the submission of a new road and the approval of that edit. That happened just a couple of days ago. Had there been a like button, I would obviously have pushed it. Okay, enough about the roads. Let's check out what is new on Google Maps. Well, perhaps the first topic is not really new, but I had not heard of it and I had never covered it in a podcast episode. So to me, and most likely also to some of you, it is new. It's related to the places that will be suggested to you in case you're looking for a place to eat. In the settings of your Maps profile, and you can access those settings by clicking the your profile picture in the top right corner of the Maps app. So in those settings, you can scroll down to manage your preferences and then select dietary preferences. That way, you could indicate that you want to find places offering, for example, gluten-free, halal, or vegetarian food. I'll link to an article from the How to Geek website in the show notes if you want to know more on this topic. Talking about restaurants and all other businesses on Maps for that matter, there's also something new for business owners. Well, it's something which has changed for them rather. The good old Google My Business program, which allows business owners to take control of their business listing on Maps. You can find out more on that in episode 4 if you want. So that Google My Business program was renamed to Google Business Profile. So I guess we'll have to get used to refer to it as GBP instead of GMB, which was the easy way to mention the Google My Business program. An article of Search Engine Land is linked to in the show notes, and it has all the details. Also, a quite interesting fact, specifically that Google says it prefers business owners to manage their listing directly in the search results or in the Maps app, and not in that separate old Google My Business console. More consolidation, it seems. Another novelty that I found on Search Engine Roundtable related to the GBP is that video approval now seems to be one of the default methods of claiming your business in the GBP program. The business owner then needs to upload a video showing the location, for example, a storefront, some of the business equipment and some proof of management. So show the paperwork on that video. It's of course a much quicker and much more convenient way than having to send a printed postcard or printed code rather on a postcard. And a third GBP topic, I'm repeating the new abbreviation a couple of times here on purpose just to make myself get used to it. So a third GBP topic is that businesses can now mark selected products as special. As part of the program, the GBP program, businesses can add products that they are selling to their listing, and there have been spottings, once again by Search Engine Roundtable, link to it in the show notes, there have been spottings of a checkbox to mark some of those products as special, which will then cause those products to show up at the top of the business profile page. The next change I want to point out is related to the design of the Google Maps app. At I.O., Google's yearly conference where they announce a lot of new things, at I.O. last year they announced something called Material U, which is a new design approach towards all of Google's products. And now this Material U design has also been implemented into Maps. You might have noticed it already, for example, in the pill-shaped highlights that indicate which tab you're on in the menu at the bottom of the Maps app on Android. If you haven't seen it, I'll put in the show notes some links both to the blog from Google itself and an article from 9to5 Google where you can check this out and see it for yourself. Then there's also a real new feature in Maps that will make the use of the app a lot easier in certain circumstances. It's called Dock to Bottom. Google is apparently still testing it, as I have seen it show up in my app at times, but it's not there most of the time. What it does is show next to the place name a blue button saying Dock to Bottom. And when you click that button, a link to that place is then stored at the bottom of the map on your screen. So in the area where you usually have this small image that you can click to switch between map view and satellite view. Next to that, this docked place or a link to that docked place will appear. You can also use this dock to bottom button on several places and thereby have a really convenient way to switch quickly between saved or rather docked places. If you don't need quick access to the places anymore, you can just undock them to remove them from those lists. If you haven't seen it yourself, check out a post from Android Central that I will include in the show notes, which also has some nice animated screenshots showing you how it works exactly. This is really a nice one. On to some news then regarding the local guides program. The Foodie Challenge. It has been rolled out in more countries. Argentina, Australia, India, Italy and Japan to be more specific. By the time this recording is published, the challenges will have ended, but it's just nice to know that more countries are being added, which is of course also giving hope to the inhabitants of countries that did not get their foodie challenge in their country yet. And it's also very nice to know that the entire foodie challenge idea actually came from a fellow local guide and fellow Connect moderator and Guiding Star 2021, Luigi from Italy. In case you're not familiar with the challenges concept on Maps, a certain target is set for the number of reviews, pictures, etc. that are added in a specific area during a specific time. So you as local guide can just participate by doing whatever you used to do as local guide. I will link in the show notes to a post on Connect on this topic, and Connect, the official platform, is of course where you need to check regularly to see if there are any announcements of new challenges, perhaps also in your country. Another newsworthy fact when it comes to contributing as local guide is something I have personally witnessed a couple of times recently. When I had visited a place where I had written a review a while ago, I received a pop-up notification promising me 5 bonus points for updating my old review. So that seems to be another new way that Google uses gamification, just like that foodie challenge. That's of course also an example of gamification. So offering bonus points for making sure that reviews, which might indeed be quite old, as a lot of local guides have by now been contributing for years. So for making sure that the reviews are kept up to date. A really clever move, if you ask me. Talking about older reviews, I also want to include here an answer I gave to a question from a Portuguese local guide, José Souza. He wanted to know if it was allowed to write multiple reviews for a place on maps after you have visited that same place again. What I told José was that you would not be able to review a place more than once, even if you wanted to. Once you have reviewed a place, you can only either adapt your existing review, and Google seems to have started incentivizing this lately, as I just mentioned, or delete your original review and write a brand new one. In both cases, you will only have one single review for one place on maps at any given time. And in fact, updating your review is useful both for users of maps and for the business owners, as having an outdated review showing up on maps is really not helping anyone. One final thing I would like to cover before closing off this episode is pure speculation. But then again, that's one of my favorite activities when it comes to Google Maps and the Local Guides program. It could be a pure coincidence, or it could be a sign of something that is being prepared. But both Mara Chomsky — if you don't know who Mara is, she's the director of community for Google Maps, so kind of the big boss of the Local Guides program. You can listen to an interview I've had with her in episode 27. And Tracy Capiello — you must have heard of Tracy. Until very recently, she was a program manager for the Local Guides team and really the face of Google on Local Guides Connect. So both Mara and Tracy mentioned something very similar recently. Mara did so in a post on Connect, which I'll link to in the show notes, of course, and Tracy in the farewell interview she gave to fellow local guide, fellow Connect moderator, fellow podcast host, and Guiding Star 2021, Adrian Lunsong. I'll link to that interview as well in the show notes, of course. So both of them mentioned as the thing that they would really like to add is to make it easier for local guides to reach out to one another, which is something a ton of local guides have been asking for ages. Right now, it is so hard to find other local guides in your area or country. Allow me to quote what Mara answered when asked the question, "What do you currently not have in the local guides program that you would like to see implemented?" She said, "One area I want to continue to push on is being able to connect you, our local guides, with one another. There is so much power in online and offline connections. We can do more to harness that energy and passion. We can do more." That's what Mara said. Now, that would really be big news. Let's hope I'm reading the signs correctly. And on that hopeful note, dear listener, I'm closing off this episode. Do get in touch with me if you have any questions, comments, or remarks, for example, by sending an email to letsguidepodcast@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter under Local Guides Guru, or on Connect, you can find me under my real name, Jan van Haver. The show notes can be found on the website of the podcast, of course, which is simply letsguidepodcast.com. Bye-bye for now, and stay tuned for more episodes soon.
Game over.